Most of us go through our daily lives not thinking about being a saint. I know that I usually don't aspire to follow in the footsteps of those larger-than-life, admirable saints of long ago. They are the heroes of our Christian faith. Sure, we're in awe of their many accomplishments, their unfailing courage in the face of incredible danger and opposition, their willingness to take up their own crosses. We're in awe of them. Yet to most of us, their lives seem irrelevant. Because of their heroic accomplishments being way too lofty an aspiration for ordinary people like you and me. To stand with any of those saints would be unimaginable for us. But what we celebrate on All Saints Sunday is not the superhuman faith and power of a select few. We instead celebrate God's profound ability and merciful willingness to use flawed people to do divine things. We celebrate all on whom God has acted in baptism, sealing them, as St. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, with the mark of the promised Holy Spirit. We celebrate the fact that God creates faith in his people. And those people, through ordinary acts of love and even the smallest faith, bring the kingdom of heaven a little bit closer to earth. We celebrate that we have, in all who've gone before us, what the writer of the letter to the Hebrews calls such a great cloud of witnesses. What we call the communion of saints. It's quite a thing, really, that we are connected to so many, connected to so much faith, so many stories, so much divine love. Especially in this day and age of alienation and disconnect, where we try to find community and belonging in smaller and narrower ways. But listen to how the Lord is addressed in the collect for today. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. How is this possible? How can God do this? How can he join together Jew and Gentile and say that they are the same blood baptized together in Christ? How is it that a slave trader, John Newton, can repent and pen a hymn about amazing grace, and in later years fight alongside William Wilberforce, leader of the parliamentary campaign to abolish the African slave trade? It was Newton's description of the horrors of the slave trade that contributed to its abolition in 1807. How is it that men and women can be so flawed and sinful, and yet in the end be called saints? Newton tells us himself that it is his baptism that knit him, an Englishman, together with West Africans, describing them as siblings sharing in the title of saint. Even though our names will likely never be included on the calendar of saints in the Christian church, we are no less valuable to God. In Lesser Feasts and Fasts, we read that the church is the communion of saints. That is, people made holy through our mutual participation in the mystery of Christ. To call something holy is to say that it is God's. For something to be God's means that it is set apart for God's purposes in the world, that it is filled with God's Spirit, that it is cherished by God. To say that we are holy as saints then means that we belong to God. Our lives are a part of God's purpose. We are empowered by God's Spirit through our baptism. We are loved by God. That is the common thread that knits us together in one communion and fellowship. Baptism, the sacrament by which we are named as Christ's own forever. Nick and Rachel, little Miles, Clara, and Emmett, you are soon to be set apart, made holy in baptism, becoming members of the communion of saints. And even in the midst of our everyday brokenness and doubt, we are all saints. We are God's holy people. But this is not by our merit. You see, sainthood is not something that is earned by an elite few who somehow live lives of extraordinary piety or miraculous virtue with superhuman sacrifice. We are saints from the day of our baptism. It's true, we are still weak in our humanity. Yet we are saints because we have been touched by God. Those saints of days past, they answered God's call in extraordinary measure. They opened themselves completely to the gift of God's grace. That was Lazarus from this morning's gospel lesson. What was so special about him? What was so significant about him? We don't have a record of him performing any miracles, taking the good news to the furthest reaches of the world or even to the next town over. What was significant about Lazarus was that he heeded God's call. He simply obeyed Jesus and came out of the tomb. He obeyed Jesus and came to newness of life. Again, in the collect this morning, we prayed for grace. Grace so to follow God's blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living. We need not measure ourselves by the sacrifices of those heroic saints. I would guess that all of you can name persons who have significantly encouraged you and strengthened you in your daily walk with God. Not famous persons, but those ordinary ones who loved and inspired you to become more fully human, more holy in the sight of God. We can be like Lazarus by answering Jesus' call to come out of the tomb to new life, displaying the glorious grace of God. We can answer the call to be persons through whom the light and love of Christ shines in a watching, broken world. So, what does this look like? Well, in our baptismal covenant that we will recall in just a few moments, we have our instructions, we have our marching orders. Continuing in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. Persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. Seek and serve all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself, striving for justice and peace among all people. Respect the dignity of every human being. In baptism, we receive the light of Christ to be saints according to God's purpose, but only with God's help, as we'll soon say, is it possible to fulfill our baptismal covenant and to live as a saint. Amen.